Yeah, I know. Real men do that.
All right, part of this class is getting you guys out of your comfort zone, so, you know, why not go ahead and start right off. We actually had, I think, a few people who came in late and they saw that this room was sort of filled up. I know there were still some seats, so what I'm going to ask you is everybody to sort of come this way so that the people, when they, you know, maybe if they're running late, they can look in and say, okay, hey, there's still some seats in here. So, asking you to get close to your neighbor. Actually, it's not quite just your neighbor, it's your brother and your sister, so we're all family. So, yeah, you probably will be. So for everyone that was here last week, I'm assuming, you know, I've got expectations of you all. So you've done your lessons. You have not just looked over it, but you've probably written out some notes or on the questions or anything like that.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
We were here last week. What's the lesson? Dog is on the
You need one more. I am actually ran out of copies. So tell me how many people need a copy. You're going to be doing it for quite a while. So yeah, so one, two, anybody else? Three, four, four. I'll make three quick next time, but I will get those two. All right. Let's go ahead and get started this morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. I'll ask Scott if he would lead us in that prayer.
Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. Thank you for bringing us together on the Lord's Day. We could open your word and teach ourselves how to be disciplined. And today, hearing and reading your word, we pray, Father, that this lesson will be profitable to each of us as we modify the habits in our life to more closely mirror the image of what you want to see in us, and that you would mold us and make us into that image. We pray that you would be with us all this morning as we remember your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray.
Amen. All right, so as we talked about last week, this is a spiritual exercise class. That's what we're looking to do, is to seek to gain in the spiritual aspects. We talked about our theme verse. Anybody remember what our theme verse or two verses is?
1 Timothy 4.
Oh, thank you. You guys don't realize it yet, but by about week 9, we'll all say that in unison. It is going to become so commonplace to you, you will know. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, 7 through 8 says, "But I have nothing to do, but have nothing to do with worldly fables, but only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, for bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds the promise for the present life, also for the life to come." We talked about last week, the emphasis here is on this idea of discipline for the purpose of godliness. Somebody tell me, real quick, review, what does discipline mean, especially in this context here?
Exercise,
control, training, all of this. So there's effort that's put into this. And it's for, here's our goal, the purpose of godliness. What is godliness? Talked about that last week.
Godlike.
Yes, being godlike is taking on the attributes and the characteristics of God. We're seeking to be like Christ. And that's what Christ has called us to, but he's also said, that's what I'm going to make you into. So the more that we get into his word, as we're going to talk about today, the more that we can become like our Father. All right, we are going to be looking at this idea of Bible intake, and the first, we're going to look at this in sort of a couple of lessons. The first one here is going to be on the idea of hearing and reading. But I hope as you sort of go through the material that you sort of see this, and this is, we're laying some foundations here, and we're going to be adding to these things, but this idea of hearing and reading God's Word is key to us in understanding all of these other disciplines. As I've gotten your notes there by Donald Whitney, no spiritual discipline is more important than the intake of God's Word. Why would he say that? Why is it that no other discipline is more important than this?
If you want to know where to get, how to get somewhere, you need directions.
Okay. Definitely need some directions.
The catalyst of what we want to be is our knowledge of who we aspire to be.
Yes.
It should be the lenses through which you view everything, so you should know it really well.
Yes, yes. And we're going to come back to that idea of lenses, because we look at a lot of different things through different lenses. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But this is key. If I've got my goal is to be like Christ, then I've got, he's given that to me of how I can be like him. Think about this. God could have chosen any number of ways to speak to us, to reveal himself to us. We see in the Old Testament, he did it through direct talking with people. He did it through visions and dreams. And yet now, he reveals himself through his written word. He chose that. Now, what that means for us is that's a choice for us. Think about it. If God comes to you in a vision, do you have any choice but to hear? No. But he says, here's my written word. You choose whether or not you're going to read, to listen, to hear. Okay? Why do we struggle then to spend time with God's word on a daily basis? I mean, if this is, here's the way, this is how we become like Christ. Why do we struggle? Because, let's just go ahead and say it out there. We struggle. I struggle.
Time.
Okay, time, yeah. What are some other things, Richard?
Yeah, we let our family or job stand. May not want them to be, but they end up, you look back, and they have the priority. That's what happened.
Okay, priority is a key.
We let our own sense of success and what success looks like keep us from doing it. If we miss a day or something like that, a lot of times we get discouraged and stop rather than forging on.
You talked about vision before, and sometimes I think our vision, and personally this last week came very much a personal item for me. Sometimes our vision is clouded by things that we want to do. And the only way we can have that come into focus is by doing these disciplines and being with God on a daily basis. And so our vision is perfected by him.
Yes, that's a good point.
So either we give into the flesh or we deport spirit. So is anything that we come up with, any excuse that we come up with, is going to be, the bottom line is we give it into the flesh.
I think, I've thought about this before, we do not have to have it to fulfill a physical need. It's not hunger. It's not work for food, for a home. If we had to have that for physical daily life, it would be different. But it's a spiritual thing, not a physical thing.
Yeah. those things that are important to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I said on that, we do not take time to look at God's Word because it is not important to us.
Yeah. If we could just have just a little glimpse of eternity, I think our whole priority would be so changed instead of being so focused on this life. Yes, ma'am?
I'm not hearing everything well, so I hope I'm not repeating, but we allow our physical goals to get in the way of our spiritual goals.
Yeah, as people, we're impatient. You know, we pray for patience in that aspect. And similar to physical exercise, you know, there's progress made slightly every day. And intake of God's Word is something that shapes us and molds us a little bit each day. But if we're impatient, we want to go through the fast food line. We want something immediately, right now. So we have to make sure we're pacing ourselves to know that taking God's Word in on a daily basis, as you have up there, is important to us, and growth comes at a steady pace.
Yes.
But our impatience sometimes wants us to set this aside and try to get some immediate gains.
Yeah.
We went Friday night. We had an event that we went to. It was like a cancer thing. And this young man spoke who had stage 4 cancer. That man was on fire for Jesus Christ. He got up in front of all those people. It was not at a religious setting. It was very secular. And just blew everybody away with his determination to walk with Jesus and to be with Jesus. And just, he was on fire because he had a reason to be on fire. He knew his life was very precariously in the balance. He's probably in his, 30s? Maybe late 20s, early 30s. And it's what several have said, that priority, that vision of when you see that is right staring you in the face. Think about Joel and all he went through and all he did. On fire. And we're not on fire like we were when we first became Christians, or, you know, just at different points in our lives, we have times when we get that. And I don't know, he just really impressed me and struck me as how he was just so on fire for Jesus. And why can't I be that way when, you know?
Well, I think that's a good question for us, is to go, why can't I be that way? Why can't I be on fire? And what I think that we can see is, if we really apply these disciplines, that is going to be the result of that. So we will be on fire. Okay, so we want to look at this idea of hearing. And we may say, well, why in the world is that? Why is that even a discipline? That seems pretty easy. Turn with me, if you will, to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, we're going to read these first 8 verses quickly. Context here is Nehemiah has come back, the Israelites have come back from captivity. They have now come back, Nehemiah has come back, the walls of Jerusalem have now been built. Okay? And we see, beginning with verse 1, that Ezra now comes to read the law. It says, "And when all the people gathered as one man at the square, which was in front of the water gate, and they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it, before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people who were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood at the wooden podium which they had made for the purpose, and beside him was Mahadma, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah at his right hand, Bediah, Mishael, there's a bunch of names right here. Okay, we're going to go on. Calm down that. Verse 5 says, "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. Then they bowed low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Verse 7 covers a few more people. And then in verse 8 it says, And they read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they could understand the reading. Now, just, I know you haven't had a whole lot of time to look at that or anything, but just from those, from hearing that, what stands out to you about these people in regards to hearing the Word of God?
They valued it.
Okay, they valued it. What else?
Because it wasn't that accessible to them. And so they, and touch on your point of memorization, they had to memorize these things in order to live them.
Okay.
And that was very important to them because that was the only source they had.
Yes. Was this a happenstance sort of thing? Did they always go, oh, hey, you're here too. You're here. Oh, great. Well, let's just, we're all here. Might as well read the law. No, this was, there was preparation, right? That took place here. So it wasn't a happenstance thing. Notice, they had a willingness to listen. How long did they listen?
How long?
Early morning means when the light came up, okay? When there was light until midday. Probably 6 hours. Where were these people when Ezra got up? What did they do?
They stood up.
They stood up. Now, they didn't stand all the time. It says then they went and they bowed low. But for 6 hours, they are there listening to the Word of God. How many of you guys could listen to me for 6 hours? And don't know anybody raise your hand. Because you know you wouldn't.
Carla, you better raise your hand.
But this is important to these people. This was God's word. They listened with understanding. What does that mean?
Had a burning desire. They wanted to know.
Okay. Had a burning desire.
But specifically, it talks about those who were able to understand.
Okay.
Listening, assuming. Those who, you know, not children.
Okay.
That's the way I read it.
Okay.
Think of people who stand in line for a specific event and will camp out, sleep out, rainstorm, weather or otherwise, all day long to get the tickets to the event. In my mind, this carries that kind of weight to it. That it was so valuable to them that it was, and in my mind, there was somebody saying, can we have some more?
Yes. And believe it or not, there are people even today who do this. I was had the opportunity to go to the Philippines. I preached for about an hour and a half and said, okay, wow, I've given them a lot. And they said, can you please keep on going? My jaw dropped. I was like, what?
I just wanted to make mention of the fact that the people are the ones who ask Ezra.
Yes.
I mean, to bring the book forth and say, teach us. Talk to us. They went in search of him, of the teacher who had the book to listen.
Yes.
So they were hungry for it.
I was thinking that also, that these could be people that had heard there was a law written. Mm-hmm. They'd never heard it before.
Okay.
And so now they wanted to hear it.
I thought it was also interesting to note in verse 4, the first group of things that you were reading, these were men who stood on Ezra's right and Ezra's left, possibly elders or at least family leaders who were giving that support to what was being read, showing how important it was to the others there.
Yes. Yes.
Good point.
Yes.
I think of that statement sometimes if, like, either school, high school, if it's college, you had a class that you had to take,
mm-hmm.
you're there, fill a seat. Versus the class you really wanted to take and really draw from it. You're there. I'm there for understanding. I want
yes.
to understand.
Yes. So there's a difference between hearing the word and listening with understanding. Guys, a lot of times, let's just face it, we hear our wives, but we don't listen with understanding a lot of times. That's what I want us to see here. It was important enough to them that they said, I need to hear this. I need to listen so that it comes, not just goes in one ear and out the other. It went in, and it went into their heart. It went into their mind. That's this kind of listening with understanding. And I make this point because if we don't plan to hear God's word, then we may never hear it. If I just, especially if I just sort of haphazardly say, well, okay, yeah, I guess I'll go to services today. Well, you might hear the word then. But is that all that it's about for you? Or is it a discipline that you say, okay, I need to be planning so that I can hear God's word? It's interesting. New American Standard gives this, I believe, 28 times. It is the phrase, hear the word of the Lord. Most of those are written by Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. But then, there's a phrase that Jesus would say when he was proclaiming. Those who have ears, let him hear. What was he saying there? Yeah, you need to pay attention. You need to listen to this. So we need to be paying attention to that.
He also said, have you not read?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that, we're going to get to that point in just a moment. Yes.
He said, inclined to hear, and we are in tune. Attuned. We are tuned in. We've got our mind focused so that we will learn.
Yes. Yes. And there's a difference.
Realize the importance of it versus just.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody talking.
Yes. Because we're all guilty of that.
Do we even feel guilty or have any concern when we don't read? I mean, that's on my mind. And I'm going, of all the things that I got done yesterday, I got this daily devotional kind of group, and it's reading. Of all the things I did get done yesterday, I didn't take stinking 10 minutes to read my daily devotional.
Yeah. And what I would say to that is Satan working. He's working against us, and he's going to continue to work against us. So the challenge is, well, I better be disciplining myself then, more and more, so that I can be put in the path where God's grace can change me. And again, that's what all these disciplines are about. Yes, ma'am.
I was going to say, and this may be a set already because I came in a few minutes later, but man, by design, by nature, is creature of habit.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly we understand that we are required to make our own way because of the Garden of Eden, because of a lot of reasons we have to work.
Yes.
And we have to do things. And there's a pattern of things that we do on a daily basis. And we can get to a spot where we get through doing the things that we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense, maybe we want to do. And the things that we should do that maybe for whatever reason seem mundane or begin to become mundane, we push back to the back of the back of the stove. How does that happen in my life?
Oh yeah, we're just creatures of habit. It's a matter of what is a priority for us. Yes, ma'am.
We need to take responsibility ourselves to do these things.
Yes.
To search and grow ourselves in the Word.
Yes.
We don't need to have to rely on other people. I think we're too used to being spoon-fed, and mm-hmm. So we don't take the initiative. We need to take the initiative to feel it in our heart.
Yes. And that's going to be key for this course. Because I'm going to be giving you a lot of things. Don't think, oh, well, that was an easy lesson. This, all of them are going to be this easy. No, I'm going to give you a lot more things. But at the same time, I can't make you do these things. I'm trying to just introduce these things to you so that you can say, okay, here's what God's Word shows us. Here's how I can get into His Word. Now, Now, are you going to take it from there and do something with it? And that was exactly what I was looking for. We are in an age, though, I think, where we have some helps. Think about technology today. I've got an app on my phone, free app on my phone, that allows me to, all I have to do is push one button on it, it's a Bible app, and I can hear God's word spoken to me. You know, we go, okay, I don't have time for this, I don't have time for that. How many of you have a drive to work? Yeah. Why not take some time and just listen to God's word that way? I mean, and you can find, how many of you have, ladies, do you cook at night? You got some time there? Yeah. The thing is, we can always find some time if we really look at our hearts and say, okay, and we look at our schedule and go, where can I put this? And it's a matter of priority. So it is a matter that we listen to God's word, but also it's the idea of reading. I found this little thing. It's got, you can't see that from the back. It's a Bible. It's got all sorts of dust on it. And written in it, it says, read me.
Yeah.
Somebody said the greatest dust bowl that would ever occur would be the Christians, would all the Christians around the world would dust off their Bibles. Might be some elements of truth. But we want to talk to them about this idea of reading. Because Jesus is the one who says, have you not read? For anybody to say that, have you not read? What is the implication from that statement? Yeah, there's an expectation that you should have read. Okay, so Jesus is saying this to the people he's talking to. Have you not read? The expectation, you have done this. You are within this, within his word. Now, in your notes, you've got three scriptures. Matthew 4, verse 4. What's the emphasis there?
The words.
Okay, which words?
Every.
Yes. Matthew 4 and 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Okay, so he said, here is everything. You need this, not just bread, but you need all of this so that you might live. 2 Timothy 3:16, how much of Scripture is God's word?
All.
Oh, I love that. Multiple people say that at one time. That's great. Sir?
Genesis to Malachi and Matthew to Revelation.
Yes. Yes. Well, speaking of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. Who's the one that is blessed here? Okay, those who what?
Read,
but also
hear.
You got to hear it.
And
keep. Okay, it doesn't do me any good if I just hear it and I read it. It's got to have a change in me. There's something that has to happen. Yes, sir.
Peter carries the concept of understanding.
Yes.
Not just to have something one ear and out the other, just to comprehend it and understand it.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And it mentions in Revelation here about being blessed is he who reads, and we're very blessed here in America that we have both the freedom to read the Bible and have access to the Bible to read it, because I know people in the sons didn't always have the information to read. And when I went to Africa on a mission trip in high school, they don't have Bibles. And if they wanted to hear it, they came from miles walking. They didn't have cars. They walked if they wanted to hear. And that's a discipline. That's disciplining yourself and taking the time for what's important.
Yeah.
It's because it's been out on Facebook or something. Some Chinese group had received a box of Bibles for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And the emotion, just having one.
Yeah.
It was pretty
good. Yeah. And how many times do we just go, yeah, okay, not today. I'll read it maybe some other time.
Piggybacking on what Cheryl said, I was thinking a while ago about disciplines, that we are so privileged in this country to be able to come here this morning and not have to fear that somebody's going to harm us for doing that. In the same, you know, way with the Bible, we have it, and I think if we look at ourselves and try to gauge our maturity, I think part of that is, did I want to come here this morning, or do I feel obligated by pressures of other people that I'm here, or am I here to worship God and to glean from His Word and from my fellow Christians here?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to relay a story that I heard from a brother who went over to China. Mm-hmm. The couple that cleaned the room, married couple, could not really speak English. I think the man could do just enough. And when he realized that was the Bible sitting there, and he told his wife, they just wanted to touch it. I mean, that's heartbreaking and thrilling at the same time.
Yeah.
And all these things that if we know are not new, as far as what God has expected of His people. Very quickly in Deuteronomy chapter 11, you shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart, on your soul. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. Then you shall teach them to your sons, talking to them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. That hasn't changed.
No, it hasn't. So here's a good question to tie in with that. How much reading of God's Word is necessary for the Christian then?
Not much.
As much as we can.
It's
okay.
Not
going to
be too much.
Yeah, there's never a time I can go, whew, I have read enough today. I am good. No, it is how much I need to get me on the path where I can come in contact with God's grace. And keep in mind what Satan is going to do. Satan is constantly attacking me, constantly seeking to find ways to pull me away from God's Word. So how much more prevalent should I be, how much more earnest should I be in saying, this matters. I need this. Yes, sir.
I would say for 60 years or more, I've been in a position where I've heard God's Word and read when I was able. My entire life. And it seems to me that you get to the point where, and I know it's Satan working in the background telling us that you read enough, you know enough, you're good enough, or whatever, but a life full of that, it seems to sometimes slip away to seem less urgent for us. I find that
that's a good point. And that's going to be something that we're going to have to wrestle with as we go through these disciplines, you know, of still being focused on that goal and recognizing the value. Yes,
that's the uniqueness of the Bible. You can always learn more.
Yes.
There's never stopping.
Quote that I have in your notes there, I think I've got the wrong, I've got John Blanchard, he was quoting someone else, he's quoting D.L. Moody, so there's the correct thing, but he says, a man can no more take in a supply of grace for the future than he can eat enough for the next 6 months, or take sufficient air into his lungs at one time to sustain life for a week. We must draw upon God's boundless store of grace from day to day as we need it. As you read that, what came to your mind? What stood out to you about that? Cycle.
You've got to continue to breathe all the time to live.
Okay.
So that applies to God's Word. You've got to do it all the time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, some people earlier in the class were talking about, you know, if this was a physical standpoint, we would have to keep eating. And, you know, that quote makes me think about someone's spirit being on life support because they've been starved. You know, if we want a spirit to live, they have to eat it.
Yeah. Why do we eat physically? Okay, we eat to survive, right?
Hungry.
Why else do we eat?
Because we like it.
Because we like it. That is exactly right. And God made that about it, you know? He made it for us. Now, does that same thing apply to our spiritual appetite?
Yes.
He's put a hunger for it.
Sure, yes. 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 And I would say that certainly there are times, as Michael, you were mentioning, where we don't see the value of it, we don't see maybe the priority of it, but we can come to a point where I want to be in this. That this is so much more interesting, so much more desirable than anything else, that it is possible for us to do that. Yes, ma'am?
Well, eating is more natural. It's something that, you know what I'm saying, we're used to. Mm-hmm. We have to do it. So spiritual is not, it's not as natural to us.
No. No, I mean, if that was the case, we wouldn't be talking about this as a spiritual discipline. It'd be like, oh, yeah, we all do that. It's no problem. So this is something we've got to work at.
It's interesting that he words this as a supply of grace, not a supply of law. And I think where often we fall short is in our desire to dive into God's word is we view it as law rather than grace.
Yeah. Yeah. What things am I going to find today that God's going to make me do?
Something I find in this also appeals to me was when I first started reading the Bible, I would try to read it all in one time. Mm-hmm. It didn't do me any good. I didn't learn anything. As I do it daily, I learn more.
Yes. Yes. That's a great point. And so as we think about this discipline, it's a matter of creating a habit. Okay, it's not going to be that I can just do it one day and go, whoo, I'm good. We just saw that. That's like what that quote was saying. You can't take it all in at once. It's got to be on a daily basis. So we've got to be thinking about, okay, how do I do that? What can I do? Okay. Well, as we look at this habit, I've got these bullet points in your notes. I changed that. The first time I went through this, I had find the time to read. I think that gave it a different kind of, sort of a negative connotation. I've got to find that time. It's not about finding the time. It's about planning the time. If God's word is that important to me, I'm going to make it this priority for me. Okay?
Hey, Adam.
Yes?
I got to say what Sister Beverly said, kind of in between the I'm a no-excuses kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
My calendar's in my hand. I put down my calendar a time that I know, actually when I'm kind of mindless on a conference call every day. So I'm just saying, if we don't actively do something different, we're going to stay in the same rut that we're in.
Yes.
And so mine was get my calendar out and put it on my calendar, because most times I can improve the likelihood of getting something done if it's on my calendar. Just the reality of my life.
That's a good point. Second point I want us to see is find a reading plan. In your notes, you have got multiple different ways that you can read God's Word. I'm not going to spend the time going through every one of them. Some of these might be a little bit confusing as the way that they were written out. If you got a question about it, I'll definitely try and explain that to you. But there's multiple ways that we can do this. And we can look at it and all read it in this way or that way that appeals to us. Yes, ma'am.
A suggestion. Think of a word, a characteristic that you need to improve on, and then find Bible scripture that applies to that.
Yeah.
And that makes it pertinent to you, and hopefully then that will give you a process of growth.
Yes, yes. Very well. And my whole point in all of this is here, take whatever plan works for you. Okay? I'm actually using the plan, I think that we have some copies of it out here on this thing. I use that plan because it works for me, because I can do it for 5 days and then it gives me the weekends off. Not necessarily is it for me a weekend off, but I'm working in God's Word in other ways, and so I can that gives me a way that works best for me. It may not work for you. But find what works for you, and then this is me. As you begin to read God's Word, and something happens, and then you get behind, don't get discouraged. That's where diets, that's where we give those diets up, that's where we give all of these things up, because we go, I failed. So what's the use? I'll just let it go. No. Say, I need to revise this. Yes, it's
up. The race is not to the swift.
Yes.
But to those who endure to the end.
Yeah. Grateful. Grateful. So maybe it is, maybe I've taken on a little bit too much today. Maybe I'm reading 10 chapters a day. Maybe that's for what I've got. That's not going to work. That's okay to say I need to back that off a little bit. And I'm not going to tell you what is and what you shouldn't have or whatever. It's got to be what works for you. My point is, stay in God's Word. Don't just give it up and go, yeah, that's okay.
Michael, I was just going to say that sometimes even a daily, I'm sorry, I can't think of the proper word, but I've been to many people's homes and I had the same thing in our guest room, which I could have on my own nightstand, is a daily devotional that will pinpoint me not to a long 18 chapter read, but something that focuses my mind on a particular thought or particular idea or something, kernel of knowledge that I can pick out of God's Word. And that can, I mean, that can be a way to do it also, or in addition to whatever times you're
with.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was a new Christian, the congregation that I worked with, we did this every year, but we did it as a group. Mm-hmm. So we had, they put it out there. We were going to read the Bible, the entire Bible in a year, and sign up for the class, and here's your assignment for the week, and then we met once a week, and then when we came together again, we read like the week's, we went through the entire week's scriptures in this class for people who, you know, maybe you missed a day or reading, so you can catch up in that class. So maybe a suggestion, you know, maybe we put the challenge out there, sign up for the class, we're going to do the Bible in a year, we do it together.
Yeah. There's great value in that because there's accountability.
Yeah.
I've done that with another lady that she and I, we did it together, and it worked out very well. Yes?
What works best for me, I'm reading in 2 Corinthians now, but it's to read all the references as I go.
Mm-hmm.
I find I'm a lot better that way.
Great point. Great point. All right, in the last 5 minutes, here's what I want us to also consider. As we think about these things, you know, sometimes we go just the way that we've always done it. You know, and we read it, and we just go, okay, yeah, I've read that before. But there are some things I think that we can do that helps us to maybe see the Bible in a different way. And that's key for us, is to see the Bible afresh every time, if at all possible. Couple of things I list there. Read the Bible without notes. I have got all sorts of notes in my Bible. And you know what that does? That cues me in when I'm reading it. Oh, yeah, that was a good point that I heard made or something like that. That's not bad. But what does that do? That sends my mind right to that same point on that verse that I've always known. Read it without notes so that you go, wow, okay, I don't have any outside influence. Here is God's Word directed to me. So that's one key thing. When we typically read without any other outside influences, you know, we've drawn probably some past conclusions about certain passages. And the key is, can I read that without having those, apply to me? I mentioned in your notes certain passages that we seem to go to for marriage, divorce, and remarriage. You know, we read that and go, oh yeah, that's what this is talking about. Try and break that and go, well, what's the real context? Why is this in here? And I think, you know, reading the text aloud helps us to do that. That's exactly how the New Testament Christians heard it. It was read aloud. The epistles were read aloud to them. And what we also see is that they were read in one or two cities. They came, you know, the letter to the Colossians, it was read all at once. we sometimes do ourselves a disadvantage because we go verse by verse and we get in and we break it out. That's, I'm not saying that's bad. We need to do that sometimes. But what happens is I miss the overall aspect of what God was talking about. The key is doing that. And realize that you're going to come to the Bible with a certain lens. And what I mean is, we all look at the Bible by our past, by our surrounding, our culture. We've got preconceived notions, whether we want to or not. That's just how we are. When you recognize that, that helps you to go, okay, am I reading this in that light, or am I just reading it for God to speak to me? Because I put this in your notes. The goal of our reading should always be to hear the Holy Spirit with a fresh and uncumbered mind if possible. We are reading not to support a prior position, nor to stick to what brethren have concluded, but to listen to God. And that's key for us. I'm going to give you guys an assignment in a couple of weeks. I'm going to ask you to outline a chapter. And my first rule is, you can't go to a commentary. Because it's a matter of not what someone else thinks, it's what you see in those words. So that is key for us to understand as we go through this. Okay, I know I sort of, hopefully you don't feel like I was rushing you. I was sort of rushing a little bit to get through that. But I wanted to sort of make sure we covered all that. Are there questions maybe about the Bible reading plans or anything that you might not understand? Okay, here's your challenge then for this week. Here's your assignment. If you are not reading the Bible on a daily basis, if you don't have a plan yet, get one. Start today. Begin to debate, start tomorrow. But that's your assignment. Don't come in this class next week and go, yeah, I didn't do that. I mean, granted, I'm not going to come at you with an iron fist or anything like that. I can't do anything like that. But this is, what are you going to make this a priority or not? We've talked about that. We've been nodding our heads. Yes, you're exactly right. All right, here's the put up or shut up type thing now. Okay?
Adam?
Yes, sir.
Several years ago, I come across what's called a citizen's sermon. I always kept it because I thought it was very helpful.